And I think that once Black women are well, we're able to really change our communities and change our families. Because if one person goes to therapy, if one person goes to a support group, their life changes and they're able to really influence all these other areas of their lives. So
This is the Girl Behind the Hustle podcast, and I'm your host, Lucretia Thomas. On this podcast, we encourage, celebrate, and share stories from female founders that push you to stop playing it safe, build that business, and keep going. So if you're ready, let's hear the truth from the women behind the hustle. Hey, this is Lucretia. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. We just wrapped our Girl You Deserve campaign that went amazing. Thank you guys so much for showing up and showing out for that. All about wellness and mental wellness, business, financial, self-care. It was amazing. More of those episodes will be dropping over the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. If you are enjoying this content and you would love to support the podcast, there is now a link in the show notes where you can show your support and you can send us a message or a love note. Click the link in the podcast for that as well. I'm excited to hear from you guys through that link. On today's episode, you guys know mental health and wellness is one of my favorite topics to talk about. It's everything that we need to continue to show up in the world and do the work that we were created to do. So today I'm chatting with Kamisha Jones. She's a Spelman alum from Chicago, and we're chatting about what she's created here in Chicago, Sista Afia. It is a mental wellness enterprise that provides low-cost mental wellness services for Black women in Chicago. She has served over 700 young Black women through culturally centered therapy and social wellness events that bridge community and healing. Sista Afia has been featured in Vogue, New York Magazine, Travel Noir, Women's Health, and just countless other publications as one of the top resources supporting the Black community with mental wellness. And let's just be honest, guys, after the year that we've been having with racial inequity, racial injustices, the news, you know, it's been a lot. And so I am looking forward to you guys hearing this episode and her sharing her story on how she's making mental wellness simple, accessible, and affordable, and centered around Black women's experiences. When we heal ourselves, we heal our entire community. So listen into this episode as she talks about the importance of making mental wellness accessible, the options of microloans for funding your business, building a team, what to look for in new hires, and other resources that you can use within your business. Morning, Kamisha. How are you?
I'm doing well, Lucretia. How are you?
I'm well. So I'm excited to chat with you today. Tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and what's your hustle.
So again, my name is Kamisha. I am a social entrepreneur and mental wellness advocate. I am a licensed clinical social worker, but uniquely also have lived experience of having a mental health condition. And I merged the two together to create Sista Afia, which is a social enterprise focused on Black women's mental wellness.
And where does your hustle come from?
Ooh, my hustle. Where does that come from? I would definitely say my family. All of the people in my family, my dad, my mom, my grandparents, my aunt and uncles have always worked very hard. So they have, you know, a very strong work ethic that has definitely passed down to me. And also, I just admire the ways in which they do things with excellence. And that's the standard. So definitely, like, I get my hustle from all of them.
What led you to create Sista Afia?
So I created Sista Afia back in 2015. I had the idea. I had been in recovery with my mental health condition for about 2 years. And I remember my mother saying to me, you know, even though this is really difficult for you, you know, use your experience to help others. So I had been meditating on that for really about 2 years. And then in 2015, I really started working on the business. I graduated from graduate school in 2016, so I wanted to make sure that was good before I started the social enterprise and took business classes in 2016. And then I officially launched Sisafia in February of 2017. And so I created Sisafia because when I was going to support groups, when I was going to, all of these different mental health and mental wellness, self-care or, practices, I would be the only Black woman in the room and the only young Black woman in the room. So I wanted to create kind of what was missing for me, that community support for young Black women who are living with mental health conditions. And I believe the work is so important. There are not a lot of organizations like Sisafia here in Chicago. And so I love this city so much and wanted to be able to give back and support others through their mental wellness.
Awesome. And where did that name come from?
So, I was looking for a name that would make people curious, but also had significant meaning. So, sister is a word of endearment that we use in the Black community to relate to one another, but to also show love and affection. And it's when someone says sister, you're usually thinking of a Black woman. And then Afia is a Swahili word that means to be free of psychological and physical illness. So the two words, sister and Afia, put the vision of the business together, which is Black women being free of psychological and physical illness.
Oh gosh, I love that so much. Was this your first experience with entrepreneurship?
Yes, this was my first experience. When I was in undergrad, when I was in college, like I knew that I wanted to like have my own organization. I just didn't know that this was going to be it. So I've definitely had like the hustle, the kind of like boss mentality for a while. But this is my first business.
So tell me, like when you were starting out, was it a jump all in? Were you doing a 9-to-5 while doing this? What was your journey like with starting this?
I was still working a 9-to-5 while I started Sisafia. My business coach recommended, she said, I know a lot of people go all in, but it would be good for you to really build a strong foundation before you fully jump into doing it full time. And she was absolutely right. So I was working all up until March of this year. So it wasn't until year three that I was able to really go into it full time.
And then you spoke a little bit about dealing with your own mental health issues. How has that been with dealing with your mental health wellness and working in mental health?
I would say that like dealing with my own mental health really helped to provide a lot of insight for me as to kind of some of the things that are missing within the mental health field, especially within the Black community. So what is the process to like find a therapist or find a psychiatrist or to, grow your social support system? Or what are those coping skills that you need like on a daily basis to be able to thrive? Because a lot of times people think that once you have a mental health condition that, that's it for you. But most people, including myself with mental health conditions, can recover and have recovered. So I would say that insight was very good. And it's, I can't be good to anybody else until I'm good to myself. And taking care of my mental wellness is imperative for me to do the work that I do, being like a therapist and supporting others. So I really take my mental health care very, very seriously, and it's a very high priority for me. So that's kind of like how my own mental health journey has like influenced the business, but also like I have to do it. Like if I don't take care of my mental health, everything falls apart. So yeah.
And I'm sure that makes it kind of easier to relate to the people that you're serving too, and just with having that insight and how you can help them better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because When you have a lived experience, you really know how it feels, and you can sometimes see what other people who don't have lived experience are missing. And so it's definitely a blessing in disguise that I live with a mental health condition, but also it helps me to be able to help others.
With building like your team of seven, what skills did you have to learn along the way? And at what point did you start building your team?
Ooh, so skills I had to learn along the way. One, I was a DIY type of person with my business. So I learned how to, build a website, host events, do therapeutic groups. So I really learned do the finances, all of those things. And doing that really helped me to know how to run the business before I brought on a team. And I think it's really important to really kind of know all of the ins and outs of what will make your business run, even if in the future you won't be doing all of those roles. When it came to building my team, I was really looking for people who are really passionate and dedicated to the mental wellness of Black women, either through their own personal experiences or their own work history. So that was one of the things that I really looked for in building my team. And in addition to that, people who were very creative. Like, even though I'm a social worker, I'm extremely creative with my business. So I'm always looking for people who are creative, who are looking for ways to approach mental wellness and to engage our community in out-of-the-box ways, because we didn't really have a blueprint, so we're kind of like creating and also innovating at the same time. So those were some of the things that it took for me to be able to, one, know how to run the business, but also to be able to find the right people who could help to carry the vision and the mission of the business and serving the community forward.
And did you deal with any investors, or did you completely bootstrap the finances?
In the beginning, I bootstrapped, but I also got two microloans, which was amazing, and they were very low interest rates. So those microloans really helped to expand the business. And then, of course, my own personal money also helped to really get the business up and running.
And tell the listeners a little bit about what microloans are.
Microloans are loans under $10,000 that usually a community bank will provide to up-and-coming entrepreneurs. And it is a really great opportunity because a lot of times people think that they need all of this money to start their business. But what I do like about the microloan is it's manageable. Like, my monthly payments are very manageable. And it also gives you kind of like that seed money to really be able to manage the financing that you're being given. Whereas, someone is getting a $100,000 loan or a $50,000 loan, yeah, that's a lot of money, and it can be more challenging to manage it, opposed to a micro loan, which is kind of like what I like to describe as like a test drive to see, okay, is this enough money? Is this going to work? And how can I manage what I already have?
Yeah, I think that's really important to know because I don't think we talk about those smaller loans enough, especially with everything that was happening with the finances, with the pandemic and the loans that were available. Just knowing that sometimes you don't need the largest lump sum of money, but using like the small amounts that you get with the grants that have been available and things like that, to keep your business afloat and to run and invest in it that way. In what ways have you kind of had to pivot your business model with the pandemic?
With the pandemic, we moved everything online. So before, we were doing our individual therapy at our office, and then we were also doing events in the community. We pretty much just transitioned everything online. Like, thankfully, we weren't hit by the pandemic. If anything, our business increased because we provide mental health services. And with the pandemic, a lot of people are experiencing mental health symptoms for the first time. And then there are people who already had mental health symptoms that got exacerbated. So thankfully, we weren't hit, but we moved everything online. And to be honest, I really like it. I didn't know whether I was going to like having everything online because I really enjoy that in-person connection, but we've been able to reach people that we probably wouldn't have reached before in different areas of the country. And then even just for the overhead, it's just cheaper to do a lot of things online. So that's how we've shifted with the pandemic.
What part of your hustle do we not see?
I would say kind of all of the little things that get the machine running. I just got an administrative assistant, which has helped tremendously. But before that, I was like answering emails, like organizing events. I used to do community organizing. So that's still very much like in my blood. And so like being really organizing, making everything look pretty in the end, even sitting up some nights doing social media graphics, like all those little things that people probably don't pay attention to as much, but are like absolutely necessary to keep things going. So those are some of the things. And those little things take up so much time. I don't think people understand how much time it takes to design, to organize, to, you know, do social media, to make connections with people in the community, have those meetings. So all of those things are a part of the hustle that people don't see.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's just the time aspect. So I'm sure that getting an additional person on your team has been really helpful for that time. It's like, you can't do all of the things. It makes it harder to work. Run the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to talk about just like the importance of the work that you're doing. Just with the headlines becoming more tragic and daily, it seems like some days, and then just dealing with the pandemic, police killings, racism, and still having to do the e-learning work and work from home and just all the things that is currently on everyone's plate. What's some things that we can do to protect our mental health during this time? Mm-hmm.
So I would say some things to keep in mind and to practice. One, I think, is listening to your body and listening to your mind. I think a lot of times we get cues before things get really bad. And so just really being in tune with yourself is as far as like, am I setting enough boundaries? Am I asking for help? Am I really stressed or overwhelmed? Am I feeling different things literally in my body? Because usually when people report, you know, feeling stressed, it's usually symptoms in your body that really let you know that those things are happening. So I would say really listening to your mind and body is the first thing. In addition to that, reaching out for help. One of the statistics that a lot of people don't know about is that the average time, the average number of years that people actually take steps to take care of their mental health is 10 years after they initially felt some symptoms, right, or started to have some problems. So if you are experiencing changes in your mental health and you know it, it's important to seek help like as soon as possible. The other thing I think is really important is taking a break from the news and taking a break from social media. Looking at the news and all of the challenging things that are happening in our country. And then, of course, a lot of people are now on social media a lot more because they're working from home. You know, they can't necessarily really go out and do the things that they used to do. Is all of that can be very overwhelming. So definitely being able to take a break from those things and notice what types of news and what type of information is not gelling with you and is making you feel worse. And then the other thing is reach out for social support. Social support is so important, whether that's giving a call to, you know, a family member or a friend, or doing like a Zoom or Google Hangout, participating in events online where you're able to connect and meet with other people. Those things are a lifeline. So those are some things that I think could be really helpful for people as they're navigating all of these pandemics at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of the work that you do is community healing for Black women through mental health. Can you talk about the benefit of it individually and collectively?
Yeah. So there are so many benefits. First, I just want to highlight that historically, people of African descent and African Americans are very communal. We're very much collectivists in the way that we approach life and the way that we navigate our community. And so having community support and knowing that there are people out there just like you who are going through some of the same things, and then building upon the strengths that we already have. I know a lot of times people will think about mental health as like a deficit type of thing, but there are already so many strengths that exist within the Black community, especially kinship and friendship, that are proven to be very important for Black women in their mental health. So I know when I have issues, you know, of course I talk to my therapist, but the first person I call is my girlfriend. And so, you know, those things are important. And in the work, most of what we do at Sisafia are the groups and the workshops and the events. And like, we had Sister Support Group this past Sunday, and there were so many women in that group who said, I feel the exact same way. Thank you for sharing this. I learned so much. So those things are so beneficial. And in addition to that, it's fun to be in community with other people, even if it's online. It still is an enjoyable experience. And then the other part with individual therapy, there are myself and the other therapists that I have on staff, we integrate Black culture into our work as therapists. So talking about, you know, different films or different events or things that are going on that are impacting Black women and impacting Black culture, and being able to bring that into the individual therapy session is definitely beneficial as well.
And what do you say to the people who question why just Black women?
I always say, why not? Black women are extremely valuable. We are extremely valuable, and we give so much to people in our community, in our society, in our larger world, and we deserve to be prioritized, and we deserve to receive care. And I think there's just a huge disparity within the mental health care system of there being Black therapists, of there being organizations that focus on Black women. And we know that when we're with one another, we can be more brave, that we maybe feel more safe to fully be who we are. And sometimes focusing on everybody, so all people of color or everybody, can take away from that special attention and that special care that I think that Black women need. And I think that once Black women are well, we're able to really change our communities and change our families. Because if one person goes to therapy, if one person goes to a support group, their life changes and they're able to really influence all these other areas of their lives. So I think that Black women deserve to have a space just for them, and they deserve to be prioritized and receive care and healing from women who are just like them.
Do you think that people are beginning to understand that more now, with a lot of the issues being brought to the forefront and them just it being highlighted, I would say, during this time that we've been in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think this has been a great year for mental health. I think people are really being like, we got to do something about this. You know, this isn't something that we can put on the back burner for any longer. I will also say that one of the beautiful things that I've been seeing amongst Black women is they want to be generational curse breakers. They want to be able to say, we are going to heal ourselves so that our future generations will be whole and healed as well. And I think that's so powerful. We've just seen it so much at Sisafia. People saying, my mom did this, my dad did that, and I don't want to continue that. And I think that that is extremely powerful and extremely valuable. And part of that has to do with acknowledging that I'm struggling with my mental health and I need to get support. And taking those steps are part of, I think, what's changed with the current landscape and the current attention focused on mental health.
What do you want people to know about the work that you do?
What I would like people to know is that what Sister Afia does is very transformative. We center culture and we center social justice in the work that we do. We are one of the few providers of low-cost mental wellness services in the Black community in Chicago. And why that's so important is because one of the top barriers that prevent Black folks from getting mental health care is cost. So the fact that we, a lot of our events are free or very low cost, and even our individual therapy, we have funding to provide free therapy to people who need support. And that's huge because a lot of people are not getting mental health care because they can't afford it or they're so daunted by the process. The other thing that is very special about Sister Afia is we're culturally centered. So we weave Black womanhood and Black culture in everything that we do. And that is very unique and I think very special. And so those are some of the things that I think people should really know about us that kind of set us apart from maybe other organizations or other private practices. And then also that we're run by Black women, you know, like that to see, you know, Black women from all different backgrounds who are a part of our team is extremely, extremely important as well, because you have some mental health organizations that may have like 10 white clinicians and only one Black clinician, right? Who's trying to hold it down for the whole community. Mm-hmm. But with us, everybody, you know, is a Black woman and everybody is doing really great work and are really dedicated. So those are some things that I think people should know. And then the last thing is we're extremely creative. We're always doing or trying out different things to engage people in mental health care. Like this month we're having like Afro Zumba and people are like, well, what does that have to do with mental health care? Physical health care is a part of mental health care, but also dance and movement is something that's a part of our culture, right? So like those are the type of things that I think make society unique is that we do, of course, the traditional individual therapy, support groups, group therapy, but we also try to weave in these other things that could be really beneficial to other people with their mental wellness care.
I love how you guys are just touching on so many aspects, especially with incorporating the dance and the physical wellness. It's just, it's amazing the work that you're doing. Very thankful for it. So I want to just take a moment to get to know the woman behind the hustle a little bit better. What is a quote, verse, or mantra that keeps you encouraged?
Oh, wow. I would say one that really keeps me encouraged is Toni Morrison. She has a quote that says, if you want to fly, you have to give up the shit that's weighing you down. Excuse my French. But and so I really like that quote is because I think all of us are definitely supposed to be flying, right? We're supposed to be soaring. We're supposed to be succeeding in life. But there are things that weigh us down. And so kind of remembering how to kind of give up some of the things that can be a little bit difficult for myself and really focusing on succeeding and flying. So that's one of my favorite quotes.
What is a tool or app that helps you manage your life or work that you couldn't live without?
Oh, Google Calendar. Google Calendar definitely has really, really helped me. I have multiple, there are multiple things that I do, and to have everything on a calendar so I can really manage my schedule is very helpful. And then also Calendly as well. If I need to schedule meetings, people can just go and click on the link and schedule things. So I really like Calendly as well. But because I have so much going on, Google Calendar has literally like been a godsend. So I'm very thankful to Google for creating that that app.
And what book should every girl behind the hustle read?
One book that I think that every girl behind the hustle should read is The Law of Divine Compensation. And that is by Marianne Williamson. And it's talked about, it talks about really changing your viewpoint or your perception about money and how to really get how to really look at finances from a different standpoint, especially as a business owner. And I think for me, it was really impactful because I'm in social entrepreneurship. So in like the nonprofit space, in the social impact space, people can be a little shy about money and they can be like, oh, like, you know, asking for crumbs and stuff like that. And so what the book really taught me is really being bold in my worth as it comes to the finances in my personal life, but also in the business. But I really encourage people to read that book. It's definitely a game changer as you're trying to grow your business.
I'll definitely have to check that one out. I've not heard of that one. Definitely adding it to the list. What is a go-to song that you listen to before a meeting or to kick off your day?
A go-to song is Blessings by Lecrae.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really like that song. It helps me to be in a space of gratitude, but also to really just focus on what are the blessings that have already been given by God in my life. And so I really just really like that song. It has a nice beat, a nice tempo. And I definitely listen to it as I get my day going.
Yeah, that's on my morning playlist too. So definitely a favorite. What does self-care look like for you?
Self-care for Kamisha looks like waking up a little early in the morning to really be able to ease into my day. I will also say cooking is also a part of my self-care. I love to cook. I'm always following food bloggers to try out new recipes. Going to therapy, working out is also a part of my self-care. And then just spending time with my friends and family, and I'm a dog mom, so spending time with my dog as well.
And fill in the blank, my name is, and one truth about the hustle is?
My name is Kamisha, and one truth behind the hustle is that you need perseverance to be able to accomplish your goals and to succeed.
Thank you so much, Kamisha, for telling all of your truths about your hustle. Please let our listeners know how they can connect with you.
Thank you so much, Lucretia, for having me. If you would like to follow me on Instagram, follow my business on Instagram. It's Sista Afia is the handle. Also on Facebook. If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, it's just Kamisha L. Jones. I pretty much accept everybody unless you're like a spammer or trying to sell me something. and then also, if you want to learn more about my work, you can go to my website, www.kamishajones.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed hearing our guest story. If there's something that you connected with or had one of those aha moments, do me a favor, go on Apple, rate and review the podcast, and share it with someone else. You know already who needs to hear this story today. Share it with them. Until we meet again, hustle and grace.